Good morning, all you beautiful, real people. I have to say, you look even better, even with your masks on your face, you look better than you do through that little camera lens on the back wall of the sanctuary. It's wonderful to be together in the flesh. And to be here in the sunshine with rising temperatures, it's just a little icing on the cake. Especially after those snow squalls that we had on Thursday. Wasn't that something? A blessed Easter Sunday to every one of you. You know, it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, we all share something in common today. We're ready for a change. We're poised for entering a new season. Spring, bring it on. A new baseball season? Yes, we're ready. A season of more direct human connection? Definitely yes. And a season of living with hope for the future? Yes, we're absolutely ready for that. The question is, are we there yet? Yes, that age-old question that all of us started asking as soon as we were old enough to speak and to go on road trips with our parents. Are we there yet? And we usually asked it with a whine. In fact, let's all say it together in as whiny a voice as you can muster. Ready? One, two, three. Are we there yet? You see, we haven't been apart for so long that we haven't forgotten how to annoy each other. But seriously, whether we realize it or not, we collectively, as a culture, as a society, are whining just about like that right now. Everyone has had enough of sitting in the back seat on this road trip called COVID, buckled in, trapped, unable to escape. Actually, some people are trying to get out of the car while it's still moving, if you know what I mean. But it's not just COVID that we are weary of. So much collective grief that we carry. We are deeply troubled by the recent uptick in violence, the deadly insurrection and attack on our Capitol a few months ago, the mass shootings that have been happening at an astonishing rate, more than one a week recently. We are pained by the continuing ugliness that we human beings are capable of showing to each other, the random attacks on Asian Americans just because of their ethnicity, the systemic ways that white supremacy still impacts and shapes our lives every day, and some of us still deny that it's real. And we should all take note that Easter Sunday in 2021, today, falls on the 53rd anniversary of the murder of Martin Luther King Jr. And comes while the nation is watching a police officer on trial for the murder of another black man, George Floyd. So it should be obvious the social ills that weary us, that weigh us down on our journey, are not about to disappear tomorrow. COVID, white supremacy, abuse of power, gun violence, political gridlock, the widening gap between rich and poor, I could list many more, but there's no need. We all carry this weight in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits. We feel it. And that's all on top of the very deep and personal losses that many in this community carry right now. This has been an awful season of grief for this community and this congregation. You all know it. It just occurred to me the other day that so far in 2021, I've preached as many funeral sermons at Parkview as I have Sunday morning sermons. So much loss. It's only natural that we wonder and ask the driver, are we there yet? Is this torturous season over? Are we about to enter into something entirely new? Easter prompts that question. Every year it does. In the Christian calendar, Easter follows a 40-day season of shadows. Whether or not we fast during Lent or give up something that we enjoy, we are all thrust into a deeper awareness of our frailty, our sin, our weakness, and we come to terms with life in the wilderness. So on Easter Sunday, the biblical narrative that we've been following all this year, the biblical narrative reaches a joyful climax. Sin and death lost the battle. Light and life and love have overcome. They've overcome everything that works against them. But what does that really mean for the world that we are going to walk into tomorrow? Or later this afternoon, for that matter? Does this really mark the end of the shadow season? Are we really there yet? Well, yes and no. Yes, we have reason to hope. The empty tomb is a sign, a resounding sign that death does not have the last word. Easter almost sounds like the end of the book. However, it's not. It's a pivot point in the biblical narrative. The story continues, wherein the followers of Jesus get in just as much trouble as Jesus did. Just as much persecution and suffering and resistance by all the powers that be. You see, resurrection constitutes a threat to the powers. So expect resistance. Powers of evil maintain their grip by the threat of violence and death. So the notion of a God who might transform death into life undermines their whole way of doing business. So they push back, and they push back hard. The agony of the journey of Jesus to the cross matches the agony of the journey of those who follow Jesus. This is not a new idea, folks. The Christian tradition has always known this and even organized the church year around it. In the biblical narrative and in the Christian calendar, Easter is not the end, but the pivot point. Did you know that 1/4 of our whole calendar is oriented toward this day? There's a 40-day period that precedes it, Lent, and there's a 50-day period that follows it, lasting until Pentecost. 3 out of the 12 months of our calendar, we spend either looking forward to this day or looking back to it and asking, what are the implications of resurrection for life in a world that continues to be steeped in grief and chaos and violence and evil and treachery of all kinds? The hope of Easter lies not in some fairy tale wish that we are all going to be rescued from all of our suffering and not have to walk where Jesus walked. No, the hope of Easter lies in knowing where this story is headed. The early Christians and every suffering Christian community that followed, including our own Anabaptist ancestors 16 centuries later, all found hope in the resurrected Jesus because it gave meaning to their suffering. They knew it was true, as the hymn says, that God is working God's purposes out as year succeeds to year. And the time is coming when the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. That's where the story is heading. When Easter people suffer, it is hard. It is agonizing. It can be excruciating. But the suffering is not a hopeless suffering. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in 1 Thessalonians 4, encouraging them that they do not grieve as others do who have no hope. Those are the words that John Martin wanted to have read at his graveside, which is exactly what I did a week ago yesterday. Because of this Easter day, when suffering comes, there are several truths we can count on which we can build a hope-filled foundation for life. One truth is that God does not abandon us in our suffering, even when we feel alone. When we suffer, God sees, God knows, and God moves toward us in love, always. Another truth is that death does not stop the forward movement of God's love and life and light. There is a trajectory that still charts the path of life in this world because of the resurrection. God's purposes are to save, to transform, to redeem, to make whole. The Hebrew word for all of that is shalom. God is busy building shalom, and we're invited to be part of that. So we have every reason to rejoice today, although more of the same suffering lies ahead. Because of Easter, we rejoice that no matter what detours or roadblocks lie ahead, the end point of our journey is not in doubt. Our loving and very patient God turns around to us in the back seat and reassures us, no, we're not there yet, but we'll get there together. And as I think about it, in a way, that message is the message that we receive anytime we come to the Lord's table in communion. The elements of the table, the bread and cup, the body and blood, are tangible reminders of how costly this journey can be. But resurrection turned the story of suffering on its head. When we partake of communion, when we ingest these elements, we are claiming by faith that just as suffering is part of us, so the Lord Jesus Christ is part of us. We ingest hope. We ingest the risen Christ. We become resurrection people who don't stop grieving, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We are people of the empty tomb. Hallelujah. So,